This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Gracious God, as we acknowledge love as that which defines us, help us to become love. Help us to become love by looking to the example of your Son, our Good Shepherd, so that we truly might follow him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good morning. It is great to be backed up behind me by all of this spiritual power. Happy Curcio Sunday. I don't know if it's true, but I heard this story of a pastor who took his congregation to the Holy Land for a firsthand experience of that special Bible place. And he was explaining to them about sheep and shepherds and the fact that you cannot push sheep like cattle. They don't do that. You have to get in front of them and lead them. And just as he was explaining this to his congregation, sure enough, running in front of them is this whole herd of sheep followed by this man. And the congregation chuckles and says, "Oh yeah, you really got it right, Pastor." So he runs over to the man and says, "Wait a minute, everything I learned in seminary and everything I know tells me that sheep have to be led by the shepherd." And the guy says, "That's right. I'm not the shepherd. I'm the butcher." We have talked a lot over the years on this Good Shepherd Sunday that comes to us every time during this Easter season about different aspects of it. But I'd like to look at this story today in a bit of a different dimension, literally and figuratively. And as I talk, you'll understand what I mean by another dimension. Shepherds exist throughout the Bible. God seems to love shepherds. Abraham was a shepherd. David, chosen to be the great king, was a shepherd. Moses, when God calls him to liberate God's people, was a shepherd. And we're in this section of John's gospel where he is talking about all these great I am statements of Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the good shepherd, as we hear today. And we need to go back to that story of Moses to understand about this I am. Now, how's it happen? Well, there's the shepherd Moses, and God says, "I want you to liberate my people. I want you to lead them and tell them what to do." And then Moses says, "Well, God, if I'm going to do that, I at least need to tell them who's doing this. What's your name? At least give me a name to tell them." And God says, "Just tell them, I am." And Moses had to be thinking, "Oh, that's really going to help." When the scripture scholars start looking into that term, I am, they tell us that the really best way for us to understand that is that it means I am pure essence. I am pure existence. I am beyond the dimensions of which you live or can understand. Now let's dissect this a little bit. There's a great preacher that's out there these days called Rob Bell. And Rob Bell talks about a concept of flatness. That if God is beyond us and lives in a different dimension, we can't understand that, but we could understand it by analogously looking at the dimensions we live in. And he uses the example of flatness. We understand two dimensions, flatness, like this. And if God was to want to enter into that world in which we live, into that flatness, he would come and make a touch onto that two-dimensional flatness. And we wouldn't truly experience all of God. What we would experience if we lived in a two-dimensional world would be different circles as God's fingerprint hit that canvas. What does that mean? It means that we are not going to see and understand the fullness of God, that we are going to see, literally, His fingerprint. Now here's the challenge. When that which is beyond us comes into our limited world, well, we could look at that and say, well, that's just a bunch of circles that hit the page. Or we could continue to look and to learn through faith to understand that it is God entering our world. It's a choice we make. It's basically telling us that there is more. This is what Curcio is about. This is what all of our spiritual efforts about. It is taking the circles that hit that page of our limited existence and making sense out of it, that there is God entering into my world. When God comes to Moses and says, I am, we have to understand what this means in terms of a good shepherd. Back in those days, they believed that God and goddesses were limited just like we are in those dimensions, especially in terms of time. You know, we live our life and all we can experience is sort of a half dimension of time. We live, we die. We can't live in the past, although some of us try to. We can't live in the future either. That's all we can do. Supposing we take something like this pen and say, this represents the time in which I live. I have this limited experience of time, my present. Supposing now this God who is beyond time and has this extra dimension is there, and God looks at me. And He can look down on me. He can look up at me. He can look at me from the past. He can look at me from the future. He can look at me from all those different angles. And He understands. Now, to me, that is an incredible understanding of how God is beyond me. Let me give you a little illustration that helped me when I was preparing this. I had to go out to California because a file crashed. It's a long story, but anyway, I had to go out there to turn in a paper and to meet with my professors. I got onto that airplane, and I was going to put my computer bag in the overhead compartment. I opened up that overhead compartment, and one of those two-wheelie metal things hit me on the head. The flight attendant comes rushing over to make sure I'm not going to sue the airline. No, I'm fine. We put it back up into the overhead, very carefully close that overhead door. I know what's up there. Well, the next person comes on to the plane, comes down the aisle, and they're going to sit in the seat next to me. He's got a computer bag that he wants to put in the overhead bin. He starts to go up to open the bin. I say, don't open that! Don't open it! Well, who do you think you are? He looks at me. Guess what happens? The whole compartment of that airplane got a good chuckle, and he got a good bang in the head. I knew because I had that perspective. I understood the past, and I knew what was going to happen in the future if he did that because it happened to me. Now, think of that in terms of this God who is beyond our dimension, this good shepherd. And the good news is, God is not only trying to make sure we don't get bonked on the head, but God is trying to make sure we get everything we possibly can that's good for us. Wow. This Psalm 23 that we hear today is an incredible, incredible psalm. There are so many different versions of it out here, but based on what transpired with me in my computer this week, I ran across this one that I'd like to share with you, a paraphrase of Psalm 23. It's called a computer programmer's Psalm 23. The Lord is my programmer, I shall not crash. He installed his software on the hard disk of my heart. All of his commands are user-friendly. His directory guides me to the right choices for his namesake. Even though I scroll through the problems of life, I fear no bugs, for he is my backup. His password protects me. He prepares a menu before me in the presence of my enemies, the hackers. His help is only a keystroke away. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and my file will be merged with his and saved forever. Now, based on what happened to me this past week, I can relate to that. The question is, how do you relate to it? How do you take those fingerprints that are coming into your limited existence and being able to recognize that as the presence of a good shepherd in your life? That's what matters. I told you the story some time ago that is out there on the internet about the bridge. That story of the man who is the switch conductor for the train and his son is down on the track. And the son gets stuck, and the train is coming, and he has to make a choice. He can switch the track, and the train will go off course, and all the people will die, or he cannot switch the track, and his son will die, and nobody will realize what he has done to save them. He makes that decision to take his son's life, and it's used as an example of what God does for us through Jesus. Perhaps with this Good Shepherd Sunday, maybe we need to look at a different twist on it. The Good Shepherd lays down his own life for his sheep. Maybe what God really does is God is on the track, and the Father himself gives his own life as well for our sake. God is beyond that which we can ever ask or imagine. But his desire is to enter into our limited existence and to help us to understand that there is so much more. Don't miss the so much more.